Let's be honest, we've all suffered from a headache at one point or another. So on this episode of the Conncast, we're going to talk about it. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. My name is Connor Collins. I am a registered massage therapist and sports injury therapist practicing 45 minutes outside of Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. And for episode 22 of the Conncast, we are going to discuss something that everybody has experienced at some point in their life, and that is a headache. And some of us may experience headaches more often than others. And one thing that we can all relate to is that a headache is an unpleasant thing to have. There's nothing positive really about having a headache. Headaches can happen for a number of reasons and are extremely complex in their nature and their origin. But today we're going to talk about some of the common styles of headaches. And to be honest, we're only going to be really scratching the surface. One of the primary documents that I'm using as a resource for this podcast is the International Classification of Headaches document, and that document is 211 pages, which goes to show just the complexity, the depth, and the plethora of symptoms that people can suffer from with all of these different styles of headaches that we have. But there are some that are a little bit more common than others. So as I do with every podcast and topics that I will often discuss, I just out of curiosity will first Google the term or series of terms that I'm going to talk about. And when I Googled headache, the first thing that came up was a continuous pain in the head. And so as always, Google hasn't really done me the justice that I want it to, in that this is a very general topic, or rather general definition. And the thing about headaches is headaches don't always result in pain in the head, and that's one of the things that we'll discuss throughout today's podcast, is they can actually give rise to a number of other symptoms without head pain being associated with it. So just because most commonly people get pain in the head with a headache, it doesn't mean that this is always the case. When we look at headaches, before we talk about the different classifications or types of headaches, there are really two types of headache, primary or secondary. Primary being the headache is the predominant thing that that person is dealing with, and headache is often the only thing that that person's dealing with. And this doesn't mean that there aren't things that might aggravate or drive the headache, but in and of itself, the headache is the primary condition. There's nothing else that's really bothering that person, or there's no underlying medical condition that they've been diagnosed with that might be driving their headache. Now, there are also secondary headaches. Secondary headaches are caused by some other underlying condition. And this might be a hormonal condition. This might be a neurological condition. This is a diagnosed condition, and the person may be aware of it or unaware of it, but this is driving a secondary headache. Even certain medications, there's something known as iatrogenic factors to health, and these are often conditions or side effects as a result of medications or medical procedures. So certain medications can even cause a headache, and people may be unaware of that. So in today's podcast, we're going to be discussing the majority of primary headaches, or not even the majority, but we're going to be scratching the surface with primary headaches. And, you know, headaches can become very disabling to people, and in fact, headache has been labeled as the third primary cause of disability in both males and females over the age of 50 years old worldwide. So it can cause crippling disability. It can cause crippling pain. It's also important to recognize that often terms, when we try and define a headache, are misused. And as clinicians, it's important to try and really define a headache. As a layperson, it's less important, but it's also important to see somebody that understands the different classifications of headache, because this might, in fact, help guide your treatment a little bit more effectively. So just a couple of tips before we discuss the particular styles or types of headaches. The first is it's really important to get a headache history, especially if this is a more chronic condition for you. We can have acute style headaches where if you hit your head, you can get a headache, or even if you get in a car accident or you slip and fall, you can get an acute headache. But you can also be a chronic headache sufferer where this might happen to you regularly for months or years, and you might have a headache journal, or you might already know your headache history and what are some things that aggravate it, what are some things that relieve it. But this is really, really important from a patient or a headache sufferer standpoint, that if you haven't done this, you're going to start to want to track your headaches in terms of their frequency, their location, their intensity, their length, things that you do or eat that might aggravate your headache or make it better, so you can start to look at certain trends, because there are certain headaches that have been shown to be aggravated or relieved by certain activities or certain food choices in individuals. So if you haven't been aware or taken an active approach to get your headache history, that would be the first thing that I would suggest. Again, as simple as writing things down daily on frequency, that might be the number of times per day or per week, the intensity on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst pain, 0 being no pain, any other characteristics about the headache, so whether you are experiencing some visual associated symptoms, so you're seeing like an aura or a blurred vision or a shiny light or spots in your eye, were there any things that you were doing that were potentially aggravating the headache, so was it a certain food? And then also the location. Was it on both sides of the head, one side of the head, behind the eye? Did it travel? And what did you do to relieve it? Did you take a certain medication? Did you massage your neck? And start to track those things so you can look at certain commonalities. And if you are seeing somebody, that practitioner might be able to look at that journal or diary and give you recommendations based on your headache history. So headache history is very, very important. The other thing we always want to keep in mind is the headache a sign of something a little bit more sinister? So is the headache a sign of a red flag? A red flag meaning this person needs to be attended to by an emergency room physician as soon as possible, because there might be something a little bit more sinister going on. And typically my rule of thumb is I want to know whether someone has experienced headaches before, and if they have not, then this is a little bit more alarming for me. I'm a little bit more attentive to the patient. And if the person is experiencing an unrelenting sort of 10 out of 10 headache that's not going away and only getting worse, and it's been around for hours or days even, then I'm always sending to the emergency department. Often if the person is a headache sufferer and they're getting that 10 out of 10 where medication isn't touching it, I'll still often send to their family doctor for a couple of reasons. The pain cycle can be very, very daunting and exhausting for a person to go through, and these can be very disabling. So often if their regular medication's not working for them, they may need a medication change or alternate procedures to help them break the pain cycle. And then if they are unfamiliar with headaches, it is even more alarming because I have no history from the patient there, as well as the patient doesn't have any history themselves. So we need to get that looked at appropriately by people that can determine whether or not there are more sinister things going on before we look at it from an allied health perspective, those treatments being massage, physical therapy, chiropractic care, naturopathic medicine, and so on. So once we have established a headache history, we've accompanied a thorough health history, as well as we've ruled out things that are more sinister, we want to try and figure out what type of headache do we have. And we're going to be talking about five different types of headache today. And the first is migraine headache. And this is the term that people will often use with all types of headaches, regardless of the actual type of headache. People will say, I have a migraine. And a migraine is a very specific classification with very specific criteria associated with them. So let's talk about what those criteria are. The first is that migraine headaches can happen with an aura or without an aura. And an aura is a special symptom that's usually accompanying the headache. And this is related to other senses. So senses of taste, vision, hearing. And these are odd senses. So for the patient, they might see a shadow, they might have blurred vision or spotty vision, or they might see different colors. They might taste certain things prior to getting the headache, or they might start to get tingling in the ears or tingling in the face or ringing in the ears. And these auras are often preceding the headache. So what that means is they will happen before the headache, and they will often warn a primary migraine sufferer that a headache is coming. We even see people that get this from environmental change. So whether there's a thunderstorm coming or substantial changes in pressure, that may cause these auras and subsequently cause the headache. The key thing about migraines is not all migraines are associated with an aura, but auras can be associated with migraines. So like I said, auras can be from vision, smell, sight, taste, and they can even be motor in nature. One of the very scary things about migraines is there are migraines known as hemiplegic migraines, so they can cause very similar symptoms to a stroke. And really, you wouldn't have any true inkling that the person was or wasn't suffering a stroke based on their presentation. So hemiplegic migraines can cause paralysis of the limb or multiple limbs on one side of the body, so the arm and the leg. It can affect motor function as well. Now, that's not to say that every person that's getting motor symptoms is experiencing only a migraine, because they could be experiencing a stroke. And this, again, is one of those instances where I would certainly be wanting that person to get looked at by an emergency room physician to rule out something more sinister. For me, and call me cautious, but even if I'm aware that this person has had hemiplegic migraines in the past, I will still often refer back to the physician for further evaluation. Now, these auras can last anywhere from 5 minutes to 60 minutes. Typically, that's the range. So typical auras don't last more than an hour. This can still happen, but is less common. But the aura can last from 5 to 60 minutes. Migraine headaches are usually on one side of the head. And the sensation that people will often explain is this pulsing sensation, this continual kind of writhing of the headache from inside of its origin point, pulsing outward on that one side of the head that they're experiencing it on. The headache itself will last anywhere from 4 hours up to 72 hours, so they can be quite lengthy. And they're moderate to severe in intensity, so anywhere from kind of a 6 to 8 out of 10. And they're often aggravated by activity being a key feature. So where activity will relieve some headaches, migraines will often be aggravated by certain activities. Other accompanied symptoms: the patient will often experience nausea, photophobia, or aggravation to light, and phonophobia, or aggravation to sound. So that these are very commonly associated symptoms. And then there are also a category of migraines known as atypical migraines. So one of those being the hemiplegic migraine that we already discussed. But there's also something known as a vestibular migraine. And in a vestibular migraine headache, you might only experience dizziness, and or you may experience a headache with dizziness. So that is a very confusing migraine to navigate through, because not always are you experiencing head pain, but a vestibular migraine is a subclassification of an atypical migraine. Now, we've just talked about two types of atypical migraines: hemiplegic, being again the one that's affecting your arms and or your legs or your motor function, and then vestibular, which is often presenting with dizziness or spinning of the room. But there are many different classifications and subclassifications of atypical migraines. So just because we covered two of those symptoms, it doesn't mean that the patient might not be experiencing many other symptoms that maybe you haven't experienced as a practitioner, or if you're a headache sufferer, you may not have experienced yourself, which can also be quite scary. So that in and of itself is a summary of migraine headaches. Now, the other thing that we always want to keep in mind is what's aggravating the migraine headache. So there are things like certain foods or certain smells even that have been shown to aggravate migraine headaches. And this is where you're going to want to question yourself, if you're the person that's suffering, or if you're the practitioner, you're going to want to question your patient. Have you been able to find a trigger for these headaches, especially with things that you're eating? Or is your headache, if you're a female, cyclical? Is it getting aggravated with hormonal fluctuations with your menstrual cycle, or certain times of the week, or certain times of the month, or certain times in the evening? Is it always time consistent? These are questions that you're going to want to ask yourself in a little bit more detail so you can try and help find a solution for yourself. So that is a brief summary of a migraine headache. The second type of headache that I'd like to review is a type of headache known as a tension type headache. And tension type headaches are often misclassified as a type of headache that we're going to discuss in a little bit as a cervicogenic headache. And often what people will do is they'll grab their shoulders or grab the neck and they'll say, oh, I have a tension headache. Now, tension headaches can affect anywhere from 30 to 80% of the population. And the exact cause of tension headaches is somewhat unknown, but there are a few different theories about the interactions between our central nervous system, so our brain and our spinal cord, and our peripheral nervous system, or the nerves in the shoulders and the neck and the hands and the face that feed into the brain and spinal cord, and how those nerves communicate. Often with tension type headaches, we will refer to this as autonomic dysfunction. So the autonomic or automatic nervous system has caused this headache to arise. Tension type headaches are often the most common type of post-concussion headache, for example. So it seems to be an issue with the autonomic nervous system. The nervous system is really kind of on threat, and as a result of being on threat, it has caused the emergence of this headache. Now, some key features about tension type headaches: you'll often have pericranial tenderness, so superficial tenderness along the side of the head when you're pushing. So this might be just above the ear or over the temple. These headaches typically last anywhere from 30 minutes up to a week in length. They can be bilateral, and often they are bilateral, which means they're on both sides of the head. And people will often complain to me that they have this pressure or pressing sensation. The intensity is, again, mild to moderate, so they might be very mild at a 1 or a 2 out of 10. They might be more moderate at a 7 out of 10. There is typically no associated nausea, and there may be one or the other photophobia, so sensitivity to light, or phonophobia, sensitivity to sound. Common places where this headache is felt is usually right on the temples, both sides. And the person will say, I'm getting this pressure, I'm getting this squeezing, like I mentioned before, and they'll often put their hands or their fingers right just in front of their ears on their temples. Now, in the International Classification of Headaches Journal, tension-type headaches are usually not aggravated by activity. However, I think we need to take this into the context of how that headache came about. Tension-type headaches are very common after suffering a concussion. So in this case, the tension type headache would be a secondary headache due to the concussion. And we know often following concussion, exercise can aggravate symptoms. So we really have to take into context when the person is suffering from the headache. Now, if there is no underlying condition or cause, then often tension type headaches are not aggravated by exercise, and people will do actually quite well in exercising to help relieve some of the symptoms, because the headache is often driven by the nervous system. And we know that exercise provides so much relief in terms of physical stress as well as mental stress. We're somewhat uncertain of what's really driving the headache symptom. Then often people that alleviate stress through exercise can do very well through using exercise to help alleviate tension type headaches. So that is headache number two. Now, headache number three is sort of an offshoot of our tension-type headache, and this is a chronic tension-type headache. Chronic being a headache that usually persists with the same type of criteria that we talked about before, but for a longer period of time, and we consider that period of time usually over 3 months. Now, this is what's known as a medication overuse headache, and the key thing about medication overuse headaches is you want to know how often you as the individual, or if you're a practitioner, how often your patient is taking medication to manage that headache. And if they're taking medication greater than 15 days out of the month to manage the headache, you might want to think about, is the medication actually perpetuating the symptom of headache? So these headaches, the difference is they'll last hours to days, so there is a remittance to them. They will usually die down a little bit. Again, the experience of the headache is very similar. It's on both sides. It's getting that pressure symptom that you're feeling. Mild to moderate intensity, not typically aggravated by exercise. Now, again, there may be that symptom of photophobia or phonophobia, so sensitivity to light or sound. And there may be a little bit of nausea associated with this headache as well. If there is nausea, it's usually just mild nausea. There's no vomiting associated with it. Typically, the onset of this person experiencing the medication overuse headaches is they had a headache for a certain reason. Maybe they got in a car accident. Maybe they just had the onset of a headache. and the headache wasn't really investigated of what may be the primary cause of it. Was this a secondary headache due to something underlying, or was it actually a primary headache that needed to be treated? And they take it upon themselves to start taking medication. Maybe this is medication that's been prescribed to them, or maybe they, in fact, start using over-the-counter medication. And what then seems to happen is there seems to be this roller coaster that they can't get off of, where the headache will creep up on the person and the person will take medication that will alleviate the symptoms maybe for a couple of hours, maybe for a couple of days, and then it will come back. The key characteristic that you want to look for is this continual remittance. After the remittance and the gradual return of the headache, the person's intervention is to immediately take medication. And the first course of action for medication overuse headache is to go back to the physician and say, look, is there any thought here that the medication that I'm taking might be actually causing my headache? The flip side to that is if you've started taking a new medication for another condition and you've recently seen the onset of headaches, then also consider that, are you getting a secondary headache due to the medication that you may be taking? So these are things that you want to consider when you start to think about chronic tension type headaches due to medication overuse. Now, headache number 4 is a very, very common headache. And this is a headache known as a cervicogenic headache. And remember when I was talking about tension headaches, I said that often tension headaches and cervicogenic headaches get mixed up. So cervicogenic means generated from the cervical spine or the neck. And so often with a cervicogenic headache, there seems to be a component of the neck that's involved in the headache. And this might aggravate the symptoms of the headache or relieve symptoms of the headache. So things that might be present: reduced range of motion in your neck, so you can't move it from side to side, you feel a little bit stiff, and or you experience the presence of a painful experience when you move your neck around. This can be sharp, it can be dull, it can get progressively worse as you move. Now, the flip side to that is there might also be positions that you put your neck in that make the headache feel better. There's also seems to be some sort of cervical, what we call mechanism of injury. So there may be a slip and fall, history of car accident, history of working overhead, maybe you're a drywaller. Maybe you've had some neck pain over the years, but there does seem to be this correlation between symptoms of a neck issue and the experience of these headaches quite often. Cervicogenic headaches are often unilateral, which means they're one-sided, and they're often locked, which means they're locked to that side and they often will not flip sides. So people that experience cervicogenic headaches can often say, it's always on the left side. And I'll often feel it in my neck to start, and then it'll creep up over my ear and then behind my eye, for example. You often will hear the person that's experiencing those type of headaches say that, and then they'll often grab their neck and kind of rub it and show you the spots that might aggravate their symptoms. The pain is usually moderate to severe, so they can be quite uncomfortable. It is not throbbing in nature, and it's not lancing. Lancing pain is stabbing pain, so it's not throbbing and it's not lancing. The episodes will vary in length, and it's often activity dependent upon what the person's doing. And seldom will you feel those symptoms that we've discussed with the other headaches. You won't feel symptoms of nausea, photophobia, phonophobia, so no experience and sensitivity to light or sound. And often what will happen is if you're pushing on your neck, or if you're the examiner and you're pushing on the patient's neck, that will create a differential in the symptoms, either relief or aggravation of symptoms. And that paired with the history of maybe neck pain, as well as what you're experiencing, whether you're experiencing some stiffness and maybe a mechanism of injury, a slip and fall, should lend you down the line of cervicogenic headaches. Now, why is it important to understand the difference between cervicogenic and tension? And I think really is, as a therapist, how might you guide treatment? So cervicogenic headaches, when we talk about them being generated from the cervical spine, we certainly want to have our treatment move down the lines of improving things in the cervical spine. Maybe that's strength, maybe that's range of motion, maybe that's the tone of the tissue, but it certainly becomes a more mechanical-based treatment. Whereas if you look at tension headaches, their primary driver seems to be the nervous system. So we want to do things that promote relaxation, and maybe the treatment is a little bit less mechanical in nature. And you really want to look at things that promote that autonomic nervous system to relax. So it might be actually a full body massage if you're a massage therapist to reduce the symptoms of stress that that individual might be feeling. It might be encouraging relaxation, stress reduction techniques. Whereas a cervicogenic headache, it becomes a little bit more traditionally biomechanical. And I'm not saying those other things won't help that, but with a truly cervicogenic headache, when you're touching the neck, either as the person that's suffering from it or the examiner, there seems to be a clear relationship between the two. Whereas in tension type headaches, that relationship is not as clear. The last type of headache that I want to discuss today is headaches that are known as trigeminal autonomic headaches. And these are headaches that will arise from the trigeminal nucleus, which is a part of the nervous system that is just in front of the upper portion of the neck. The most common type of trigeminal autonomic headache is a type of headache known as a cluster headache. Now, the origins of trigeminal headaches are similar to tension type headaches. We think that they're coming from the nervous system, but more specifically, this area of the nervous system known as the trigeminal nucleus. These headaches, again, are unilateral or single-sided, and they're usually just above the eye, behind the eye, or in the temporal region. Now, the headaches are quite short in duration, anywhere from 15 minutes to 3 hours in length. The frequency can range from one headache a day to 8 headaches per day. But one of the key features about trigeminal autonomic headaches versus a tension type headache is the symptom of the eye. So often with a trigeminal autonomic headache, you might get increased tearing of the eye on the same side that the headache is on. You might get something known as meiosis, which means the pupil will constrict on that side. You might get something known as ptosis or a droopy eyelid. You might experience some swelling around the eye. So this can be you as the patient feeling that eye being full, and or your family or friends might say, wow, your eye actually looks a little bit swollen. You may also experience some nasal congestion as well as facial or forehead sweating. So again, the intensity of these headaches can vary from mild to moderate. And you're looking specifically with trigeminal autonomic headaches or cluster headaches in particular, that involvement of the eye. Whereas with a more traditional tension type headache, there isn't as much involvement of the symptoms surrounding the eye, as well as trigeminal autonomic headaches are usually single-sided, whereas tension type headaches are usually bilateral or on both sides of the head. So those are the five probably most common types of headaches. Now, as I said, and I'll link this in the show notes, that document that I'm referring to is 200 plus pages long, so by all means, I've just scratched the surface, but I thought this would be valuable, and these are by far the most common type of headache that I will see clinically. Now, in terms of what can we do, I think that manual therapy plays an important role. So if you're not currently getting any manual therapy done, I do think it can be beneficial. The benefits can be somewhat mechanical. So in the case of a cervicogenic headache, helping you to get your neck moving a little bit more effectively. In my opinion, there should always be an active component to any type of headache, whether this is just some light walking or exercise outside to help reduce stress versus a really specific rehabilitation program for the neck and shoulders in certain cases. For me, there needs to always be that active component. Unfortunately, one of the primary barriers to that is the headache itself, and that the headache can be so disabling that people don't want to get out and move. All I can say is we certainly want to motivate people to try, because often once they get out moving, more often than not, we'll see the headache change a little bit in terms of morphology, and it might actually reduce. The other thing of importance is that headache journal, trying to see things that are aggravating. And these range and are clearly dependent upon the patient. Sometimes it's chocolate, sometimes it's a certain type of food, sometimes it's a certain type of environment, or if the individual is stressed, they know that a headache's going to be the first thing that happens to them. So starting a headache diary. And then as well, if you're a practitioner, they might need interventions like medication, they might need injection therapy, recognizing that often while allied health professionals can reduce headaches substantially or eliminate headaches, a lot of the time, sometimes there needs to be some outside guidance from our friends in the traditional medical community. Also, to those people that are long-term headache sufferers, so they've fallen more into the chronic state, try not to lose hope in that there are plenty of different treatment options out there for you, and you want to really look at this from a global perspective. You want to throw as many good things at yourself to try and reduce this headache as possible. Diet, exercise, stress relief, getting some manual therapy, and it doesn't necessarily matter at the end of the day what helps eliminate your headache. And often what I say is, let's just give you as many good things as possible and monitor as many positive things as we can and focus on the positive and focus what we can change. And that, for me, from my experience, has offered people quite a bit of resolution or elimination of their headache symptoms over the years. So I hope that you found this episode helpful. I mean, we could talk about headaches for many, many more episodes, and maybe I'll do a couple of follow-up episodes in the future on headaches, as we only just scratched the surface. But I hope that I was able to give you some general information on headaches and maybe some new information or reframed how you define headaches if you're a practitioner. And maybe if you are a headache sufferer, opened your eyes to maybe some things that you might find positive in moving forward to help alleviate and eliminate your headaches as well. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to leave them below as always. Tell me, if you're a headache sufferer, what's worked for you? What are your triggers? Have you found your triggers, and what have you found beneficial to you? I'm always curious to see what people are saying. And one last thing before I go today, if you have found the podcast to be enjoyable or helpful, I would really appreciate your support. I know the majority of you are listening to this on an iPhone. Probably about 3/4 of you are listening to this on an iPhone. So if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, I'd really appreciate it if you just scroll down to the bottom, hit that little 5-star rating, and leave your comments. It really does help grow the podcast and allow the podcast to reach other people. So if you do that, thank you in advance. Have a great Friday, folks. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you in the next one.